I wanted to read a scripture and then introduce Darren, who's going to come and share with us this morning. I want to introduce him by mentioning this scripture, Ephesians 4. Paul wrote this. He said, "He who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." The fivefold ministry is called to equip the body of Christ to do the work of ministry. I want to just introduce my brother Darren. Darren Canning, he's not a stranger to most of you, but to some, he'll be a new person in your life that you'll hear from this morning. But Darren, two things I want to say. One is, I sat in my living room with Darren and a dear friend of mine, a precious prophetic brother, Mark Brisbois, who's no stranger to this house, and Mark spoke over Darren words I've never heard spoken over someone so beautifully and so powerfully. And it was an appreciation, the heart of God's appreciation for Darren's willingness to go to the smallest places as well as the biggest places. There are a lot of people that are more than willing to go to the big places, but they'll not go to the living rooms or the small assemblies across our nations, the nations of the earth. And so I really appreciated being able to be in that meeting, Darren, and to hear that. And the second thing I want to say is that God is emphasizing in this hour, and we stand about to enter into a new year, and I shared this with Darren, I'm all about 1 Corinthians 14:3, where the prophetic brings strength to the body. It encourages, it strengthens, it brings comfort, and we need this kind of strengthening in the hour in which we live. The final thing I want to say is that Darren models this. He models character over gifting. And this is also a message for the entire body of Christ right now, that God is way more interested in our characters than our giftings. Okay? Darren, come on up. I love this guy. I'm really honored to be able to walk with him. And his beautiful wife, Lydia, and their kids have blessed. I just want to say this. I won't go and name all of you and tell you how you make me smile or laugh or all the different uniqueness of your children. But what you brought to this place has enriched us all. So thank you very much.
Lord, we thank you for today. And God, we're aware that we're at the end of a new year, and a new year is about to begin, and we're right here in the Christmas season. And I just ask for a special blessing on each family, that your peace would enter into not just the homes of the people here, but all the people in this region. Let Jesus sneak in through the doors in this season, and let your Holy Spirit touch them. Father, we thank you for each heart. I pray for healing here today. I pray for deliverance. I pray for fears to be broken. I pray for breakthrough in finances, in health, and in family. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad to be here. I do have my artwork because they asked me to bring it. All these paintings I'm going to give away today. And I'm going to ask Pastor Chuck to actually, can you oversee that after? He's like not wanting me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'll talk about them a little bit. The church has been a blessing to us, and we want to be a blessing back. But pass me up all three different ones. I've written quite a few books, but now they're getting dated. But there's a testimonial book of how I started seeing miracle signs and wonders. I called it The Army Rising, and that's an interesting book just about even the Kinburn revival that took place. A lot of the stuff that I saw through that time is in there. This book here, Fire Script, both of these books came from dreams. I know it's a funny title, but it's called Fire Script, but it's really a life on fire for God. And how at the age of 32, I was an economist working in the government of Canada, an atheist, and the Lord got a hold of me in those years, and it was supernatural, because I had a lot of strongholds over my mind keeping me from hearing the voice of God, and he spoke to me. So I went from not hearing God's voice to telling them to be quiet. I'm being honest, because stuff that God says is almost too wonderful for your ears, and you have to deal with a lot of the pain and the junk that was poured upon your life, even from a young age, and the false beliefs of yourself, the things that we believe that are not true, and then God begins to speak the opposite, and it's too wonderful for your ears because you believe the lies, amen? Whew. And then I have this book, The Glory Train. That's like a prophetic book of all my prophetic writings. I do a weekly blog. Most of the time I try to write a 1,000-word blog each week. I haven't done so well this year, but normally I would write about 40 unique writings a year. And so they come out on my mail out that comes out through each Sunday morning. So some of you are connected to that, but you can get to that by going to my website, DarrenCanning.tv, and you can sign up for it there. This is probably my most famous book. It's called The Science of Prophetic Ministry. It's not that there's a science to it. I'm more of like a social scientist. I studied, my first degree would have been philosophy, political science, studying sociology and things like this. And so when I talk about science, I'm talking about describing how things work. And when I came to the Lord, I began to notice these patterns. I don't know about how God speaks in different ways. And I began to say, okay, either I'm gone insane that I'm hearing God speak this way, but Lord, if there's a biblical pattern that justifies the way I'm hearing, I want to understand it. And this began a process of studying scripture to see how God spoke to the prophets, to the men of God, to the women of God of old. And from that, I wrote this book. I actually wrote it, I think it was in 3 hours after 4 years of studying, it just poured out. I had a prophet come from Texas, and he said, you know what you need to do is write a book on prophecy, and it just came out. And this is the book that turned into another book called, I think Sid Roth called it, Tuning Into the Frequency of God. But I like The Science of Prophetic Ministry better, but that's what he likes, because that's who he is, right? So he can do whatever he wants. Again, if you don't know who that is, that's okay. God is good. I'll talk about the paintings. I mean, there's Jesus, of course. I just love painting faces. And this one here is about all of his times are in our hands. There's a clock behind him. Thank you, Lord. Every age, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords from age to age. Amen. And so there's a continuity between the beginning and now that every soul that's been in Christ, his revelation in their heart. And there's not one of you in this room that cannot hear the voice of God. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. Are you a sheep? I am. Amen. Thank you, Lord. First and foremost, I'm a sheep who wants to hear God speak. Because there's something powerful in hearing God's voice. It shifts you. Amen. It makes you feel peace. One of my favorite things to hear from God is everything's going to be all right. I need to hear that. Almost every single day. I remember he began to speak to me through numeric patterns. And anybody ever saw 333 way many too many times on a clock? Or 111? You see these things and you're like, God, what is this? And you're listening. But for me, 333, I just came back to the Lord. I was 32 years old. And in that 32 years of life, you remember when we used to all have digital clocks in our room? I don't have it anymore. I don't have a clock in my room anymore. But back in the day when I had to wake up for work, I had one of these alarm clocks. And all night long you'd wake up and see numbers on the clock and wonder what time of day it was. But never in 32 years that I had ever woken up at 3:33 in the morning. Never. It just didn't happen. But one morning I wake up and it's 3:33 on the clock. And I'm like, what is this? It was like God was in it. You could feel it. I knew it wasn't just waking up, but I woke up exactly at that hour. And then the next night, I woke up at 3:33 again. Two nights in a row, the exact moment I wake up again. And I'm like, God, what is this? And really, we always need to put it back to God. Lord, show me what you're saying. It becomes my first question to God when I begin to recognize his voice. And really, I was staying with, there was a man of God named Hank Callis. Some of you probably know him. He was a missionary in India. He used to leave for 3-4 months a year. And when I first came back to the Lord, I had nowhere to live. So he took me in. And he had TBN. That was the only channel his satellite dish would pick up. And so I would, all through the day in the wintertime, because I had no work in those days, I read my Bible through in 15 days, and I was watching TBN all the time. I read my Bible 3 or 4 times in like a 6-month period, because I really needed to get the Word of God in me. And for me, that is the most important thing, is the Word of God. Everything has to come from the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. When you get the Word of God in you, it strengthens you, it heals you, it delivers you, it becomes your compass, it becomes your guide. And so I've taught my children the same way. If they don't read the Word, they're in trouble. It's as simple as that, because I want the Bible in them. The Bible is living and sharper than a double-edged sword. It's living. It's a living book. It's not just a book. You got to look at the words that come off the pages as life. And when they enter into you, they're the fuel that get you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And so the Word became the most important thing for me. Then there's the element of the Word that's Logos, which is the written Word, and the element of the Word of God that's by the Spirit, or the Rhema Word, which throughout Scripture you'll see this word Rhema. And it really is the Word that comes by Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, thank you, Lord, the Word came upon them. The Holy Spirit came into them, and suddenly it was them and God. They were hearing His voice. You know, in Acts chapter 2 is the first sermon, and really Peter says to the people, what you see, these people are not drunk like you might think, but this is the Holy Spirit that's come upon them. And this is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. You know, it's, I will pour out my Spirit in the end days, end times, and my people will have dreams and visions. My people will prophesy. This was the foundation of the church. And so even in this hour, that's never shifted. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out upon lives, and they're still having dreams, and they're still having visions. And we need to be pushing in to hearing God's voice. But 3:33, I woke, I said, God, you need to show me what this is. And I was watching TBN, and suddenly Juanita, prophetess from the U, Bynum, yeah, was on, and she said, Jeremiah 33:3. I was like, what? 3:33 again. And it says, call out to me. There's an invitation to call out to God. He wants you to call out to Him. And what's the reward? I will tell you great and mighty things you never knew. And so every now and then, I'm like, I'll see 3:33 again. And I'll go, God, show me something I never knew. As long as I'm alive, as long as I'm in any form like this, I'm going to have limitations and I won't understand all things. And so when God calls out and says, call out to me, I will show you something, then He's going to show me something. I'm going to have revelation all the days of my life. I may have been 20 years now pushing into the voice of God, but I hope for 40 more. And I believe I met a lot of women and men of God that are older, that have been pushing in. I've met somebody who was 60 years in prophetic ministry. That's a long time pushing into the voice of God. And they were just as humble and just as seeking God in that hour as they would have been in the beginning. Lord, make me like that. Make me humble. I remember meeting one man of God in Kansas. I went to this church, probably never had revival for 50 years. They were still singing A.A. Allen songs. What would that be? It's like, Jesus on the main line, tell them what you want. You remember that song? They're still singing this song. And I remember going in there. I get in there, and the Holy Spirit moved in power. And we had a little revival breakout in that church, and they're still going. That was 12, 15 years ago that I first went there. But they had a brother in there. They call him Brother Manning. And I heard this story about Brother Manning. He had been a contemporary of A.A. Allen. He had been up on his roof, built like over 200 churches, this man. But he built this one church, and he fell off the roof and broke his back. And then he's laid up, and he felt that if Brother Allen came, A.A. Allen, who was a prophet in America, a powerful one, he said, if he would come, I would be healed. So Brother Allen comes in. He didn't feel like anything happened. He came in, he talked to me, and then he left. And I was so discouraged, except within a few days, his back was healed and he was walking again. And I remember they said, Brother Manning is in your meeting today. And I got a little intimidated because I had heard that he was such a powerful man of God, had led so many to the Lord. And I thought, my God, he must be the proudest man. And I began to look around the room for a Brother Manning. And there was this one older guy who was very proud, a bit stiff-necked. You know what I mean? Have you ever met anybody like that? Hopefully it's not you. Amen? Hopefully it's not me. I mean, You got to lay that stuff down. You really need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. No matter how high you go, there's higher to go still. And the way to go higher is through humility. So, Father, and I said to this to you, and I'll say it. If somebody says you can't be humble, they're a liar. Anybody who says to you, if you think you're humble, you're already proud, that's not a truth. That's not true. The Bible says you can humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. So there's steps to take to enter into humility. Telling people you're sorry when you're wrong is humility. Putting others before you is humility. Practice humility. Don't practice false humility. You ever say to somebody, my God, you did a good job. Brother, it's not me. They'll go, it's not me, brother. That's all the Lord. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, it's you now. Just say thank you. Thank you. That's greater humility than trying to make yourself look bigger than you are. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. Thank you, Father. God is good. The turkey smells good, doesn't it? I'm competing with a turkey here today, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Humble yourself. Brother Manning, he shows up, and I thought, my God, if it's that man, I don't even want to talk to him. I thought, oh, Lord, and he was staring me down. You know, this man, you ever had somebody stare you down so much when you're speaking, you don't even want to make eye contact? You're afraid they're going to freeze you or something. So a lot of times I would practice, like I'd be preaching, like, because there's always someone who likes looking at you. You're preaching to them, and they're like this, and all of a sudden they're right there. And you go over their head and look over here for somebody else who's easy to talk to. That's what this man was like. Anyway, I found out later that wasn't the man at all. The man who it was sitting in the back, didn't care if he had a voice, didn't care if he was seen. He was one of the most humble men of God I'd ever seen in my life. And I thought, Lord, I want to be like him. I want to be like him. I don't need to be the center all the time. If I need to disappear behind everybody and just sit, allow me the grace to do it. But it's not always easy. A lot of us have daddy issues, you know. God, help me not to have to be the center of attention all the time. In fact, you won't be, whether you like it or not. Once they remember you, they've forgotten you. I've had a lot of success in ministry, as people would say, and then when it's come, it's gone as quick as it came. And now you have to get up in the morning and be faithful again the next day. You got to be faithful. The key is to be faithful. Get up every morning, put your feet on the ground and say, Lord, I just want to be found faithful. Today, I don't even know what that means, Lord, but allow my testimony to touch somebody today. In this way, that's why I can enter into a room with just a few. I love those people. There's one group that I go to in the States. I can assure you most would never go there, but it's my favorite place to go to. It's a trailer that's run down in the middle of Florida, and I'm not going there because they got a lot to give to me, except they do. They talk funny. They have a real, like, accent, to be honest with you. But when I get in there, the Holy Spirit moves in such power. I get up and I start dancing with them, and I'm looking at them. There's never more than 12 or 14 people in that room. But every time I go into that region, they're first on my list to go to. Why? Because they're family. When I look at them, and you may not know this about me, but I'm part First Nation. And I go down there, and these people are part First Nation. And I look at them, and I see the faces of my family. And I just fall in love with them because they remind me of where I came from. They're me. Who, right? And look, I can be in mansions as well. I've preached in, I go into a mansion, guys, in Houston, Texas, where they're all oil people, and I fit in there too. I'll be ministering. I was in Africa, like a minister of a government department who had 2,000 employees is waiting in her house late at night for the prophet to come to give her a word. We've had that. But wherever the door opens, we go to, because that's what God would have of us. Water doesn't ask the direction it goes into. Water just flows in the direction that opens for it. You just flow with the water. The Holy Spirit will bring you into places you could never get in any other way. I've been all over the world. This year was a very busy year for our ministry. I was the start of the year crazily. I'm going to share Vic, and then we'll pray for a couple people. I don't have much longer. Oh, I meant to go in a different direction, but it always happens. When you're prophetic, you sit there at the table and you go, I'm going to say this, this, and this. And it never happens. And you feel like you have ADHD or something. You can't keep a train of thought. You know, it's just all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Well, you gotta go with it. Now I forget what I was going to say. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. It'll come back to me. I was in the state 5 major trips where I drove at least 8,000 kilometers on each trip this year. I probably did 60,000 kilometers, I think, in vehicles this year. Not just in Canada. I drove across Canada. I drove across America 2 or 3 times. And we just came back from Texas. Me and Lydia and all the 5 kids in a van drove from here to as far as Houston, Texas. And it wasn't the greatest trip in some ways, and it was the best trip in others. The kids were sick. We had pukers in the car. You know what I mean? We had one of them. I won't say his name, but you can imagine who it was. 4 times threw up on that trip. And one time we were playing laser tag. In the middle of laser tag, I thought I was 12 years old again. And so I'm not going to let these boys, this girl, beat me at all. And there was another pastor there. I was going to be the best. You know what I mean? And I was, thank God. You know what I mean? I did. I lived up to it. But it came with a cost. I twisted my foot so bad, the bone popped out of my, you know, this bone right here, pops up and goes back in. I went, oh, God, that's going to hurt. That's going to, so I do that, and this throws up. Oh, I just said his name. Thank you. He's probably listening online, too. And then we're going to the door. He's trying to get it. He's like, Mom, Mom. And now I got to be the dad, but I want to be the soldier. I didn't want to get shot too much. I knew if I was over by the door, I was going to be taken out. And I didn't want that. And my foot now is like, I'm like this. Sammy, we got to get out. Nobody's answering the door. And in the interim, I get shot 5 times. And I said, Sammy, I'll see you in a bit. And I couldn't get the door, so I disappeared back in. I know it was a bad dad moment, but this is what I did. And I just won the game. Thank you, Lord. He did get out. He was fine. And somebody had to clean that up. Thankfully, it wasn't me. God is so good. But my foot snapped. Like it was, and then I couldn't walk. So now I'm like on my trip. I can't walk. This is the goodness of God. Listen to this. It was Friday this occurred. We had to go to Tyler, Texas, about a 3-hour drive from where we were. And I was preaching in a church where the first time I went there, we preached in a backyard. And I prophesied over them that they would have 4 buildings. I don't even remember. I thought, when they told me that on the 2nd or 3rd trip, I was so upset. Like, why would you prophesy 4 buildings? One's enough, you know, you think? Anyway, they have 4 buildings now, and they developed a church, but my first time there was a backyard. That's what you got to do. And we saw a church planted. I've seen many churches planted as a result of going into places that other people wouldn't go to. Amen. And they love me and I love them. But I got to speak at this church in the Saturday and Sunday night. And I get in there and can't walk. This is Saturday night. I had to sit and speak sitting. And then that night, a lady that I know from Australia, who's like a family member for us, who's gone through a very difficult season in her life. Her body locks up, her muscles lock up, and she has intense cramps and she can't walk anymore, appears to me in a dream, and she starts getting angry with me. Why would God heal your foot, but he won't heal mine? Just like that. And I'm thinking, my foot is healed? That I'm like, all of a sudden, this was a teaching moment. I said to her, you have to praise God, even in the midst of your suffering. I know it's difficult, but you can't focus so much on the healing that you forget to worship the Lord. worship the Lord, and your healing will come in its time. Then I woke up. I forgot. I said, my foot is healed? This was like a four-week job. I knew this was going to be a while. I broke a rib. Remember last year, 2 years, I got real sick, 7 months down because of a staph infection. Well, 2 weeks after they pulled that PICC line out, I was play wrestling with Isaac, and my rib broke. 2 weeks after, I never told anybody. I was like, I didn't tell anybody this because they're going to like start rebuking demons out of me or something. I didn't know what I was going to. But anyway, it was 3 weeks of pain, and the pain in my foot was the same level as that. And I went, this is 3 or 4 weeks. The next night, I was preaching on a foot that was healed. God healed it, and that's what God will do. And I've learned this. As you go in the name of the Lord, he will heal you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. I had been wrestling with finances big this year, got very quiet. And sometimes you can get upset with God. You're reminding God. You ever remind God? God, you said. You said. I went around the world, and that cost $50,000 because I brought a team with me. I went into a bit of debt for that. We did raise a lot of money, but we didn't raise the full amount. And then I did a couple other trips by faith. And I did, I said, God, I want you to stretch my faith this year, because I kept seeing a year ago, Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 says, stretch your tent pegs and I will fill it. And for me, that's a sign to grow, that you have to do it by faith. So I took a guy with me, paid his way around the world. I'm glad I did. This guy had an incredible healing anointing. In 2 or 3 meetings, we were in Singapore. And I all of a sudden hear, pop! It was like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, in the atmosphere, 3 or 4 times that occurred with him on the trip. And every time it happened, I'd hear, oh! I was like, oh, he did it again. Because you can get upset. God, why didn't you use me? You're using him over there. You see, you can get like that, whether you like to hear that or not. But God used him. There was a woman who walked into them and completely crippled. Her big toe, your foot's like this, was out like that. Her foot was flat and her toes were like this. When he prayed for her, it went boo, and it went right back. And both feet got completely healed. Within 1 week, she was walking like a kilometer and a half to a market, the shop, and she couldn't walk for years. That became a sign and a wonder. We had about 500 people in our meetings in Singapore, and they had all heard that God healed, amen? And God, you know, I was like, okay, we did this by faith, but now, God, I'm carrying $50,000 for the year. And I said to the Lord back in the summer, what do I do? You always bring it to the Lord because he will always have a strategy and plan. We sowed some big seeds. I always believe it. If you need a breakthrough, you need to sow, amen? We sowed a really big seed. And I said, God, you need to bring breakthrough. We're believing for a huge breakthrough. And I said, what do I do? He said, go to Texas. I didn't know what that meant. I planned a trip for Texas. We get down there. You heard me. Before the breakthrough came, I break my foot. I'm like upset with God. Now I broke my foot. And we still haven't had the breakthrough. And then he heals the foot. We're in the last meeting. And I don't get a breakthrough. I'm like, God, I'm going home without this breakthrough. A lady in that meeting walked up to me and gave me a check for $25,000, which if you do the math, is about 34,000 Canadian. And we raised another 15 on that trip, and we had our bill paid for. Amen? Isn't that amazing? I like to say that's it, but I'm still believing for more. I don't know about you. As soon as you get one victory, you're believing for more. And we are. We're constantly, why? Because I'm constantly stretching my faith. I don't want this year's victory. I remember in the middle of all this going, God, there were days I would remember needing $10,000. I wish I was there again because $10,000 seems so easy now. But I want to get to the place where I do effective ministry that we're going to need a lot more. But in order to get to that place, we have to grow. Amen? So, Father, stretch us. You know, I was in America, and I'm going to finish now, with Donald Trump won. And I hate talking about politics. I hate to tell you that. I do. especially in Canada, because you don't know who's listening right now. Some guy, you know what I mean? Next thing you're in detention centers again, which, if you know me, that's a real possibility. You know Jordan Peterson? Who knows this name? Left Canada yesterday, won't come back because of the persecution that he endured in Canada. He moved to Arizona yesterday. And that's what we face in Canada, is a persecution in the political realm. You may not like politics. I don't either. But I was in Texas when Donald Trump won that election. I had to tell you, something shifted in America in that moment. You could feel it. There was a lightness that came after that. We felt it. And people, I mean, if you look at the results, she wasn't even close. And it wasn't about her. It was about the foul philosophy that follows what they dictate. I mean, I can say, and I'll probably get arrested today, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a morality that is, it's anti-Christian. And Christians, we cannot but oppose it. And it will come at a cost. And even in Canada, we still haven't won complete victory over that spirit. But I can tell you this, we will. We will. 2 years ago, when I crossed Canada based on a dream, I went to 30 churches based on a dream. And I left the house without one church set up. But by the time I came back, I was 25 churches I went to. I prophesied to 4,000 people on that trip. But in the middle of the trip, I heard the Lord say, Reformation is here in Canada. The truckers' protest represented a new momentum for the people of God. Now, some of you, I tell you, turn away. I don't care what you think. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the Spirit over this nation. Amen? You may not like what that all represented. Yes, there was some nonsense in the middle of all that. Amen? But it represented a breakthrough in a nation. And I have to say, I don't believe that Trudeau ever regained authority in the land. He's now only 20% popular in the polls. And this year, I hope we see him gone. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not saying the other guy will be any better because I don't know if he's a Christian. But we do need a shift in this nation. Amen? And I believe when Donald Trump got up to give his victory speech, he said this, and I'm going to read it because this is what the Lord is saying for, I believe, not just America. I believe this is a new day in the earth. Amen? Lydia and I were down there. I stayed up till 1:30. I couldn't handle it anymore. I went to bed, so I listened to this the next day. But let me just preface this by saying in 2020, I'd had dreams of Donald Trump crossing the finish line. This was before he lost that election. And I put it out very publicly. It ended up on the Elijah list. And then all of a sudden, I had dreams that he was going to win in 2020, not knowing it was going to be 2024. So I thought he was going to win in 2020. I was called a false prophet. Can't imagine what you go through when that happens. I had people writing me, rebuking me. And I thought, they wanted me to repent publicly. And I thought, how do you repent for a dream that you had? I saw it in a dream. So as soon as he lost that election, I figured he was going to win the next one. Amen? God is good. Oh, Shandarabokunda. I know I didn't even want to talk about this today. This is political. People don't like politics. Amen? Whew. So in 2020, I say this and it doesn't go, and then I just begin to pray. It became very quiet. In 2017, I saw in a vision Donald Trump, and he had gold bars in his hand. And he was giving it to the normal people. And I knew that represented a blessing upon the land, amen? Not just financially. Gold represents in Scripture wisdom. It's breakthrough. It's everything you need. Blessing. Everything you need for a good life. But in 2017, I saw that. There was a bit of that before then. But as he gave when Trump gave his victory speech early in the morning, November 6th, he says this, and with every breath in my body, I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve. And then he says, this truly will be the golden age of America. That phrase just resonated inside of me. I couldn't shake it. I was thinking about all day long. We were down in Texas. Lydia needed to go to a drugstore. So we got into the vehicle, went up to the store. And as I'm thinking about the golden age, I look over and on a building that says Golden Age Healthcare. And again, I had never seen golden age often enough, but now you're thinking about it, you're seeing it. There's something that the Lord is saying. It wasn't just that Donald Trump was declaring it. I believe the Holy Spirit is declaring a new age that we're in. This is a new season, a new time. There will be things that come that will be difficult in this hour. But the people of God will be blessed. I can tell you this, every time something difficult came into our culture, my household was blessed and increased. In 2008, in the downturn of the economy, it was the first year I owned a house. It was the first year God gave me a house, gave me the best job I had ever had when that took place. While others were going down, I was going up. Why? Because I am in Christ and God, and His blessing is upon me. Amen? Whew. And then in 2020, my ministry should have been full stop because I'm a traveling preacher. I turn into the internet, and my ministry explode. We never missed a beat. I preached 250 times in about a six-month period through the internet, raised up 50 online prophetic voices, and we had an increase in finances, and I was able to build a studio in my house when I shouldn't have been able to do anything. Are you hearing me? God will bless you. There may be other things that come. Fear not. Amen? I feel this, Proverbs 3, 13, 15, that the golden age is about the wisdom of God coming upon the body of Christ, upon society. To walk in a moral uprightness, according to Scripture, we're already seeing many people returning to Christ. Even in the social media realm, you're seeing voices rising up who were not Christian. Suddenly, they are Christian. One of them is Russell Brand, he has an audience to millions and millions of people, and he's talking to the people how he's being discipled in Christ and sharing scriptures, and many others in that realm are turning to Christ. Amen? Happy is the man, Proverbs 3:13, who finds wisdom and gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you desire cannot compare to her. I believe there's going to be a release because of the stand in that realm, the political realm, that there's going to come an open heaven over many lives to actually prosper in wisdom in this season, and not just for America. No, you know, I was an economist, and we used to say, if America gets a cold, Canada gets the pneumonia. What did he mean by that was, if there's an economic downturn in the States, Canada's in trouble. In the same way, if there is an economic prosperity in the U.S., we would say our season is coming as well. And so what happens in America will resonate around the world. And I just declare a new season. Let's pray for Canada this year. I cannot say I've seen a shift in the political realm in the spirit over Canada. Usually I see a new prime minister before he comes in or she comes in. I haven't seen it yet. And so I'm praying that I will see something so they can hold on to it. I knew Justin Trudeau would become Prime Minister of Canada, and the body of Christ threw rocks at me. But you can only declare what you see, and I haven't seen different yet. I'm praying for his resurrection power. Let's pray even that salvation will come to Justin Trudeau, that God would touch him and resurrect him in this hour. I do not want to see his demise or his uncovering. I'd rather see him repentant and turn full force into the Lord, and we would have a new day even through his life. Amen? But if God should ordain it and we have a new prime minister in the land, let's pray that he gets revelation and understanding to rule well. Not just ruling like, well, at least I'm not Trudeau, that there are real policies and real changes that come into the land to help Canada grow into the nation that it is ordained to be. I will say this publicly. I believe there will be a new city in Canada, a very big city. It will be on the Georgian Bay. I say it publicly. About 12 years ago, I saw this, and I heard this city will rival Toronto. With the immigration the way it's been, our cities are now stuffed full, and so I believe we're going to start seeing new cities come onto the landscape in Canada. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for each heart. in this room. It's not my intention to offend anybody. It isn't. I'm just speaking what I saw. Thank you, Lord. And I don't think too many prophets get appreciated that way. You don't want to say it, but the Lord says, say it. You know what I mean? You got to say it. Who? He says, Son of Man, tell them what I said, but if you don't say it, their blood will be on your hands. I don't want no one's blood on my hands. Amen? If you're here today, perhaps you don't have a strong relationship with the Lord. And today's a good day to make that change in your life. Some of you here, I believe, that are on the precipice of a great change. Some of you remind me of me 20 years ago where I made that decision to step right into the Lord's army and never shifted since, nor would I want to. And some of you need to make that change. When I came to the Lord, I had nothing, absolutely nothing. I was a divorced man. I was an atheist. I was suicidal. I tried to kill myself. And then the Lord got a hold of me, and he made promises about family. And I stand here today with a beautiful family, 5 children with Lydia, and my 2 children from my first marriage love me, which is a miracle. And I love them. God will restore and he will redeem your life. Perhaps you're here today and you feel like you've lost everything. You've lost nothing. God is for you and no one can be against you. He will rebuild you and strengthen you. So with every eye, just close your eyes. Whew, and just be real with God. And maybe some of others are here and, you know, you need your financial breakthrough. You need your healing. You need your deliverance. You need a new day. Just be real with God and say, Lord, show me the way. I want to step into your paths. I want to encourage you today that God has good things in store for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. That was one of the first scriptures the Lord spoke into me. He spoke that into me as I was hanging in a closet committing suicide. And I didn't believe he could speak. And he said that scripture to me. It changed my life. And I have to say, it's true. And every person who I've seen turn to the Lord has the same testimony. This is the hour of Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I believe we are at the great awakening hour, that there's a great awakening that's happening now, and I believe we've been in it for a while, but it's going to grow, and it will be remembered as a season of the greatest change, the greatest renewal in Christ in this hour. So, Father, we thank you for today, and I ask you, Lord, to bless each heart. Open up their hearts and let them hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm going to pass it back. Is that okay?
You know, we read earlier from Ephesians, you know, and it talked about the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Each and every one of us is being equipped for ministry. We're being equipped to do something out there. This is not long enough. What are we here? An hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours? Our record is 7 p.m., by the way, here. Not leaving the building. But even that's a really short amount of time. Most of our life is spent out there, right? It's spent out there. And so we're being equipped for the work of ministry. And it says, until we become mature. One of the words is used, mature. And Darren, I just thought of this as you were speaking. The scripture says that the old man are going to dream the dreams. So this is actually kind of funny but true at the same time, is that there's a level of maturity that God's built in you that has caused you to be an old man earlier than most men. I've never known a guy like Darren that dreams dreams. He dreams the nation before he goes to the nation. Over and over and over again. And then he goes, he doesn't say, do I have enough money to go? You know. And one more scripture came to mind as you were speaking, and it's this. It's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. It says, you will be made rich. How many like that sound? So far, so good? Okay. You will be made rich in every way. I like that a lot. It says, in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I want to read it one more time because this is one of my favorite scriptures. And my brother models it. There are many more models in this room, people that model this scripture. And I want to read it one more time over you. This is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. You will be made rich in every way. I love that, in every way. Don't you love when you're talking to someone and they don't walk away or get distracted, or you know they'd rather be somewhere else? You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous. On every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God.